So on the bottom of Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, four lines up before the end of the Amud, and we're looking at a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And this is a discussion about Nevi'e Sheker in contrast to Nevi'e Emes. And he says, Hanovi Asher Ito Chalom. And I think he's talking here about the Nevi'e Sheker. And they have these dreams. Yisapar Chalom. They talk as if they're just passing on their dreams. But it really has no substance to it. No truth to it. However, Asher Dibe Asher Dvarai Dvari Ito. However, when I really speak to them, that means to the Nevi'e Emes. Now he's contrasting the Nevi'e Emes with the part of the pasuk which is Nevi'e Sheker, is Yidaber Dvari Emes. They're going to speak the truth. And now the Gemara is going to focus on the next five words in the pasuk here. It says, Malit Teven Es Habar Niyum Hashem. So tevin is the part of the chaff that you get rid of, that covers the wheat. The bar is the grain itself. And there's some sort of a remez here in the end of the pasuk, comparing tevin to bar. So again, the thrust of the pasuk al pi pshuto is that whereas Nevi Sheker, when they tell over their chalomos, it's just like a person who's misaper chalom. You know, he's just schmoozing about his dream. But that's not Nevuah. What about the Nevi Emes? In contrast, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to them in a dream, and when they transmit their Nevuah, it's not a derech sipur chalom. It's not just that they haphazardly, pat you on the back and sit back and smoke a cigarette and say, "Oh, I had a dream last night." But rather, it's a sipur nevuas emes. And you can't compare the two, just like you can't compare the tevin, which is the kash, that covers the wheat, to the bar, to the tvu itself, the wheat, the kernel of wheat. And now we have a question here. V'chima inyan bar v'seven etzel chalom. The discussion here, this pasuk, is about dreams. There are dreams that have nothing to them, or maybe they're fabricated. And then there are true dreams, which is a nevuah of emes that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the comparison here to bar and tevin? So in the footnote, he says that the Gemara's kasha is, what bothers the Gemara here, is that the pasuk should have said, if it was only interested in this contrast between emes and sheker, then the pasuk should have said, Malit Teven Eitzel Habar. Malit Teven Eitzel Habar. Now, how can you compare tevin to bar? They're so radically different. One is worthless, and the other is valuable. But instead, the pasuk says malit tevin es habar, and es habar sounds like im habar. Now the tevin is something that's within the bar. Now the bar, which is the healthy part, that refers to the true chalom. So what's the tevin that's in the bar or with the bar? So the Gemara says, Elam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Kishem Shi Efshel LeBar Below Tevin Kachi Efshel LeChalom Below Dvar B'Telim. That the remez here is to a chalom, a dream, and a dream is made up of two parts. It has bar, which is the dvarim amitiyim, the true message that's inherent in the dream, and then there's the tevin, which represents symbolically the dvarim betalim that's in the bar, that's in the dream, and that's meaningless. That's just something that you want to chuck away. Now the question here is a person able to differentiate between the two? When you see a dream, can you sift out the tevin from the bar? Do a mice of borer, so to speak. That's not totally clear. I would assume that the Nevi'e Emes are able to achieve that goal, and they know which is true and which is not true. Alternatively, it could be that this chalom that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is talking about is not the chalom of the of the Nevi'e Emes. The Nevi'e Emes will receive a chalom that's 100% true, it's genuine from A to Z. But rather than the case of Nevi'e Sheker, they're telling you chalom, and maybe since they cannot differentiate between the Dvarim Batalim and any truth that's in the chalom, they're going to sell you the tevin because that's what they think is true, or that's what they want to understand. Maybe they have a subjective interpretation, and that's what you're going to get from them. You're going to get the tevin and not any bar. Again, it's possible that the Gemara is just using the end of this pasuk almost like an independent unit as a remez to teach us something about chalomos. I don't know, I'm not sure. Alternatively, maybe what the Gemara is doing here is taking the end of the pasuk as a reflection on Nevi'e Sheker, that Nevi'e Sheker are full of Dvar Betelim, or something along that line. But in any event, the final conclusion is that a chalom is a little bit similar to Nevuah, but we have to realize that you can't rely on the chalom per se unless you know how to sift out the tevin from the bar.
Is it significant that you have this is a quotation from Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Bar Yochai?
I'm not sure exactly why this would be significant, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, you and I know, is the author of the Zohar, right. So it makes sense that these kind of mystical parts of human experience would be his forte. Amar Abrechya, Chalom, you should know something about a dream. Afal Pisha Miktaso Miskayim, even though some of the dream will come to fruition and it's a true dream, but kulo eno miskayim. Don't anticipate that the entire dream will come to fruition. In other words, you have to assume up front that this part of the dream is not a chalom emes. It's not going to come to fruition. Now, one of the questions I want to raise here is how do you understand Rabbi Brechia in terms of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that we just learned? Is he adding anything, or is he just repeating what we saw before? And we're going to give two answers to that question in just a minute. But minolan, from whence do we derive this? Mi Yosef Dichsiv in Breishis Lamed Zayin, Vehine Hashemesh Vayoreach.
That's what I was thinking of. Yes.
Excellent. Vachad Asar Kochavim Ishtachavim Li. Now Shemesh is a remez for Yaakov Avinu. The Oreach is a remez for Rachel. Rachel at that moment in time was already gone. And the 11 stars symbolically represent the 11 brothers of Yosef, and they will all come down to bow to him. And that's impossible because Rachel, who's represented here by the Oreach, he shaita at that time already, Ime lo havius. Rachel Imenu was already gone, so it's not possible that she would come and bow down to him. So we see that even though most of the chalom would come to fruition, but there's part of the chalom that would not come to fruition. So again, as we asked earlier, what is Rabbi Brachia adding to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? So here we have two Mahalchim in the Achronim, and they're polar opposites, one or the other. They both have the same differentiation, but in different directions. In other words, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is this direction, Reb Brachi is that direction. They're talking about the following. And we'll start with one approach. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is telling us that we're going to find, in the case of a chalom, that down the line, it will take a while, but we'll realize with the fruition of the dream that part of the dream was Dvar B'Telim. That's going to take a while. Rabbeinu Brachia wants to add that immediately at the time of the chalom, it's already nikar, it's already clear that it is not true, it is wrong to say that the entire chalom will come to fruition, just like by Yosef, immediately. At the moment of the chalom, it was absolutely clear that part of the chalom, namely the yareach part of the chalom, would not come to fruition. However, there's a second approach, which is just the reverse. And that's, in the back of the Gemara, we have somebody called Rabbi Elazar Moshe Horovitz. And he writes that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is telling us about a dream that at the time of the dream, you can already see, it's nikar, it's clear, that there are dvarim betelim in the dream that won't be able to be fulfilled. Rabbeinu Brachia says that even though at the time of the dream, it looks like everything is perfect and there will be a fulfillment, but you'll find out down the line, much later on, that it won't come to fruition. And this is based on the Rebbe of Rabbi Brachia. Rabbi Brachia was a Talmud of Levi. And Levi in the Medrash tells us that the Yareach in Yosef's dream was a remez for Bilha, Shivchas Rachel. She raised Yosef as a mother would. And this is based on a Rashi in Chumash in that same chapter in Bereishis Lamed Zayin. Bilha was alive at the time of this dream. And therefore, this was not Dvar B'Telem. Nevertheless, you should know, and that's what Rabbi Brachia is teaching us, that down the line, there is some part of the dream which will not come to fruition. Why? In this case, because Bilha could not possibly come down to be Mishtachva to Yosef, because she died before Yosef stood as the Moshel in Mitzrayim. Omar Rabbi Levi, Le'olam Yitzape Odom L'Chalom Tov, a person should always anticipate that a good dream will come to fruition, but how much time should he be Mitzape? How long should he anticipate that this would happen? Can he give up after a certain period of time? Well, he shouldn't give up Ad Esu Mishtaim Shona. He should hold out and be patient and wait for the fruition, even if he has to wait 22 years. Because even though in the Hanhogas HaOlam, which reflects sometimes the constellations of stars, the Mazolos, the Zodiac, even in that Marocha, there is another Marocha, there's another system, and the Hanhogas HaKochov and Mazolos is based on the impact of the 22 letters of the Torah. So the 22 letters of the Torah of the Aleph Beis, they have an impact on the Kochavim Mazolos. They have a Maroch that goes above that. And every single year, there's a Hashpah, there's an impact of another letter in the 22 letters of the alphabet. And what it means is that, let's say it's the Aleph year, correct? So all the other, the 21 letters are Tafel to the Aleph, let's say. And then it goes to Beis, and then by the time you get to Taf, it goes back to Aleph again. Every 22 years, there's a different impact of one of the other 22 letters of the Torah of the Aleph Beis. Now, when a dream will come to fruition, it might come to fruition in that very year that you had the dream, if the Hanhoga that's being indicated in the dream aligns and reflects the Hanhoga of that particular letter. But the entire system of this Hanhoga will take 22 years. So sometime within that 22 years, your Chalom will come to fruition. So wait for 22 years. Minolan, how do we know this? And the answer is me, Yosef, from the Chalomos of Yosef. It took 22 years until they were fulfilled. And the brothers came to bow down to Yosef. The Chsiv, it says, V'eli told us, Yaakov Yosef ben Shvayesrei Shana. So Yosef was 17 years old when he had his dreams. And he became the Mishnah Leparo, the second, the viceroy of Mitzrayim, Chsiv Yosef ben Shlosh, at the age of 30. Me'omdu lepei Paro. So we're going now from 17 to the age of 30. Now at that point, what happens is there are going to be 7 years of plenty. Umin Shvisar Atlosin, from the age of 17 when he had his dreams until he was 30 years old when he stood up and he became the Mishnah Leparo, Kamahavi, that's Tlosrei. So if you add 13 to 17, you get 30. So it's 13 years from the time of the dream until he stands in front of Paro. Now, we have to add Shev Disiva. We have to add 7 years of plenty, because during those years, the brothers did not have any problem with famine, so they didn't come down to Mitzrayim. So we add 7 to 13, and we end up with 20. Vitarte de Kanfa. Kanfa is the Aramaic word for Ra'av, for famine. So the 2 years of famine. And the Pasuk says, just 1 second, Chazak ha-ra'av b'chol ha-aretz. So it took 2 years until the famine was so severe that lifnei Yosef, that the brothers came down to Mitzrayim and they stood in front of Yosef and they bowed twice, it says, Ishtachvelo apayim orzo, and that was the kiyum of the chalom of Yosef. So if we add 30 and 2, we end up, I'm sorry, if we add 20 and 2, we end up with 22 years. And this was the period of time that it took until Yosef and his dreams would reach fruition. And it means that a person should therefore wait as long as 22 years until the chalom might come to fruition. And again, that's all based on the calculation that Maruch of the 22 letters of the alphabet. Now, when Rab Levi says Ad Esrim Shtaim Shana, it doesn't mean that it'll definitely come to fruition within 22 years. It could be that it'll take a lifetime until that dream will come to fruition. Mishum sha'al Yosef mikach ein raya miYosef. He's just saying that I could only prove that the 22 years. So it's at least 22 years that before you give up hope, so to speak, before you throw in the towel. It could be much, much more than 22 years. And he says, Yesha chalom iskayim rak avur shiyavrush esrim v'shtana. It could be that your dream will take 22 years until it comes to fruition. And matzinu shachalom sheparo chalam od sheva paros v'sheva paros rose sheva shibolim abrios v'sheva shibolim adakos his kaim b'yemei Yechezkel. Wow. So from the time of Paro until the time of Yechezkel, his dreams were not fulfilled. Because as a matter of fact, Chazal say the second dream of, well, both dreams that had the 7 years of Rav, didn't actually come to fruition because Yaakov Avinu came and the dream, so to speak, terminated. Now keep in mind that Yosef had two dreams. In the first dream is Hinei Anachnu Malmim Alumim, Tesubeno Alumasi, etc. Shtachmen Alumim. And then the second dream is Hinei Shemesh V'Yarech Alumim. In both of the dreams, Yosef appears to his 11 brothers in the future and they will bow down to him. But the Shemesh in the second dream is a remez that Yaakov would also come down to bow to him. So the first dream is only on the 11 brothers. The second dream adds Yaakov Avinu, the father. He too will come down. Now the Gemara's language, Li'olam Yitzapeh, catches the eye of some of the achronim here, because it sounds like a person should be waiting up until 22 years. And these psukim only prove to us from Yosef that a chalom can be miskayim up to 22 years, but we still don't have a raya from Yosef that Yosef himself was waiting for the chalomos to be miskayim. Now, I just want to add one comment here. The Ramban in his Perush al Torah, in justifying why Yosef put his brothers and his father through so much suffering and anguish, is because he was waiting to see the chalomos come to fruition. But that itself is a gigantic debate amongst the commentaries. So he's going now with the possibility that Yosef was not really being mitzapah. So how does the Gemara derive from Yosef li'olam yitzapah that Yosef was anticipating the fulfillment of the dream? So he quotes a medrash that says that when Yosef became the viceroy of Egypt, he issued a decree that anyone who comes into Mitzrayim from outside of Mitzrayim to buy tefuah has to write down on a ledger his name and his father's name. And there were actually officers in the Egyptian government, so to speak, who would oversee and supervise this to make sure that that decree was fulfilled. And Yosef did this because he wanted to know exactly when his brothers would come down to Mitzrayim to buy tefuah. So the Medrash seems to indicate that Yosef was indeed waiting to see the fulfillment of his dreams. And that again, as I said before, would support the Ramban's view that Yosef saw in his dreams a prophecy and he wanted to do everything that he possibly could to see the fulfillment of that prophecy. However, if you look in the Eitz Yosef on the Agadita, he writes that in truth, there's no proof that Yosef was really waiting for 22 years to see when the fulfillment of the dream would take place. It's very possible that Yosef was not waiting at all for the Kiyum Chalomos. But this is what happened Be'esek Hadas. In other words, without his awareness, it took 22 years, but ultimately his chalom did in fact come to fruition. But what is the Gemara intending here? Kevin shematzim shechalom shel Yosef is kaim achri esem v'shtayim shona lachein ein lo le'odom shechalom chalom tov litya'esh. A person shouldn't be in a state of despair when he sees that his good dream did not come to fulfillment, but he should wait that period of time. So it doesn't mean that we're learning from Yosef that Yosef waited that period of time, anticipating, you know, looking every minute when the dream would come to fruition. It just means that if a person has a good dream, you never know, it may take 22 years until that dream would come to fruition. Amrav Huna li'olam le'odom tov. Who gets to see dreams? Good dreams, bad dreams. So if Huna claims that if you're a good man, ein marim lo chalom tov, that's paradoxical, and the paradox is doubly paradoxical because he says, "Lodom ra, ein marim lo chalom ra." It's interesting. An odom ra, bad person, evil person, will only see good dreams, and a good person will only see bad dreams. Why is that? So the Mefarshim, Rashi, and all the others, they explain that a dream is a way of bringing a person either to a state of tshuva, of anguish, and he should realize that he's got to ship up, you know, shape up and do better, or on the contrary, bring him to a false sense of happiness, thinking that everything's going to be great, and that's going to, you know, that's going to strengthen the attitude of the Rishoyim that, you know what, everything's going to be great. And indeed it might be great. Why? Because God pays them up for whatever small merits they might have in this world. But with regard to an Adam Tov, we're not going to show him a Chalom Tov to make him complacent. On the contrary, the reason why Hashem brings this dream is because ultimately he wants the tzaddik to be doeg. He wants him to, you know, to be a little bit concerned, make a cheshbon nefesh and try to improve himself. And that's part of the process of tshuva. Now there is another girsa here in the Gemara, which is brought down in the Ein Yaakov, li'odom tov marim lo chalon ra. Yeah. That it actually says that he will see a chalom ra. We have ein marim lo chalom tov. And he says, according to this girsa, what the Gemara is saying is that we're going to show a chalom ra to a bad to a good person to get him to do tshuva, but we're not going to accept that girsa because the Gemara seems to assume that a good man will not have such bad dreams. Now we could ask Akasha from the Chalom of Yosef HaTzadik, right? He had a good dream, and yet he was an Odom Tov. And the Gemara is going to clarify later on that Shmuel was also a good man and he had a good dream. So it seems that a Chalom Tov is Ke'en Nevuah. If a good person, a tzaddik, gets a chalom tov, it means he should understand it to be a nevuah, shu miskayim, umarim lo la'odav al yidei malach. And in such a case, they're going to show, the malach is going to show up with this good tidings, this good nevuah, to an odom tov. He's not going to show up to an odom ra. But there is a chalom tov that comes through a shade, that comes through the demons of evil, and it won't come to fruition. And that's something that they don't show to an Adam Tov, they only show them to an Adam Ra. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned in the Braisa, as Rav Huna said, Kol Shnosov Shal David Lo Ra Chalom Tov, V'Kol Shnosov Shal Achitofel Lo Ra Chalom Ra. So we have a conscience between a Tzadik and a Rasha here. Achitofel was a Rasha, he rose up against David HaMelech with Avshalom to rebel against him. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that he's one of the people about which we say, Elam Chelik Olam Abba. And he never had a Chalom Ra. He only had a Chalom Tov because, again, Hashem was Kilu giving him that complacency that you know, as if to say he's going to ride on the high wave. But in truth, that's only to pay him up here in this world. In the case of David HaMelech, he didn't see a Chalom Tov, he didn't see a Chalom Ra, because the Gemara is going to say later that we don't show a Chalom Ra to a Tzaddik, but on the other hand, he didn't see a Chalom Tov. Right? That's what it says over here, Lo Ra Chalom Tov. And the reason for this is, again, as we said before, that he should be doing and somehow improve himself spiritually. So Gemara has to write away Akasha on Rav Huna, because it sounds like he's saying that an Adam Tov will not experience a Chalom Tov, Aksiv, it says in Tehillim, Lo Seuna Elecha Ra'ah, which means Lo Tizdamin Elecha Ra'ah, you'll never have something evil. And Rav Chizda, the name of Rabbi Yirmi Barav, interprets this, Shalo Yafhilucha, you won't be overwhelmed, Lo Chalomus Ra'im, Lo Hirhurim Ra'im. So you won't have these bad dreams. And you're telling me that he'll never have a good dream. I mean, here's a bracha to a tzaddik that he won't have bad dreams. Apparently, he'll have good dreams, or maybe he won't have any dreams. And then the end of the pasuk says, "V'negalo yikrav ba'alecha da'inu ishtecha." Alecha is a reference, a symbol, it's an allusion to his wife. Shlo timta ishtecha safik nida b'shasha tabam in aderech. Imagine a man comes back from a trip and he wants to have an intimate relation with his wife, and she says, "I might be a nida, a safik nida," and that's a really difficult situation, because once you have a safik, you know, and you're in a state of passion and desire, so you're gonna, the Yetzer gets the best of you. Oh, it's only a suffix, don't worry about it. So that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises here for a tzaddik, that he won't have to face that great challenge. So the Gemara now kind of reformulates Rav Huna when he said that the Odom Tov ein marim lo chalom tov. And it sounds like he will see a chalom ra, which is against this pasuk of lo suuna lecha ra'a, ella. But rather, what does Rav Huna have in mind when he says that lo adam tov ein marim lo chalom tov? It doesn't mean that he's going to see a chalom ra, because be'olecha lo suuna, again, lo suuna lecha kol ra, lecha ra'a. But rather, what he means is that ilu lo chazile achrini chazule. We're going to see within this sugya that very often a person gets a chalom, which is really a message to somebody else, and it'll be clear from the chalom that it's a message for someone else. So, in the case of Rav Huna, what we're saying is the principle is that for a tzaddik, he won't have neither chalom tov nor chalom ra. Right, because Rav Huna says Lo Adam Tov Ein Marim Lo Chalom Tov, but on the other hand, we have the pasuk that says Lo Suna Lecha Ra, he won't have a dream of a Chalom Ra, but others will have a dream of a Chalom Ra about him. He won't have that terribly overwhelming experience, the behol of having a bad dream, but others will be, because God will spare him that experience. But he will find out about the bad dream from someone else who had that dream about him. And therefore, when he finds out, because they're going to convey that dream to him, he'll be in a state of daga ve'etzev, and he'll bring him to do tshuva. So it comes out the following, that an Adam Tov is not going to have any dreams. He's not going to have a Chalom Tov that we saw in Rav Huna. He's not going to have a Chalom Ra, because the pasuk says, Lo Suna Elecha Ra'a. So the Gemara already asks, V'chilo chaza iu mal yusu? Are you telling me that it's a great thing that he won't have any dreams? That tzaddik won't have any dreams? We saw in Rav Huna he won't have any good dreams, and we saw in the pasuk that he won't have any bad dreams, so he'll be completely dreamless. Is that good for a tzaddik? V'amar Rabbi Zira, kol alon shiva yom b'lo chalom nikra ra. If a person goes 7 days without a dream, that's evil. That's not good. Shenemar pasuk in Mishle, v'savea yolin bal yipokid ra. You know, the word savea, which means satiated, but it also, if you conjugate it in a different way, it's sheva. Sheva, which means a week of 7 days. Yolin, he sleeps. Bal yipokid ra. And he doesn't have any bad dreams. Al tikri savea, ela sheva. That if a person goes 7 days and he doesn't get any dreams, that's a bad simon for him. It means that up in heaven they despise him. So they don't show him anything. Chach, I mean, show him, if not a bad dream, so to get him to do tshuva, show him a good dream, put him in a good mood, nothing. So he goes a week without a dream, that's bad. So a tzaddik has to have a dream. The dream itself, whether he knows about it, he doesn't know about it, but the dream itself has an impact on his nefesh in a very subconscious kind of way. Here's where Freudian psychology comes to the fore. Elohachi kamar, dechaza velo yoda mai chaza. What Rav Huna meant to say is that he will have dreams, but he won't know about his dreams. He has to have dreams because the pasuk says, "Shelo yolin shiva yomim below chalom." So he's got to have dreams. You know, the soul of a righteous person has to have a dream, but he's going to forget his dreams before he wakes up. Why? Because his dreams are good dreams, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to overwhelm him with bad dreams, because the pasuk lo sunekol ra. So he's not going to have bad dreams, but he has to have dreams, because if you go 7 days without a dream, that's not good for the nefesh. So he's going to have good dreams. But we said that a good dream is going to give him a sense of complacency rather than propel him to do tshuva for his iniquities. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of gives his nefesh the dream, but he himself will not be aware of the nefesh, because as soon as he wakes up, he's not aware of his dreams, he's forgotten his dreams. And the reason he forgets his dreams is so that he shouldn't be complacent. So if we give an overview sort of the sugya, you know, the rules of the game are the following. That with regard to a tzaddik, he has to have dreams. He won't have good dreams because that'll give him a sense of false complacency. He won't have bad dreams because that's too overwhelming and too anguish-provoking for a tzaddik. So therefore, what's going to happen is the bad dreams that are meant to arouse him to do tshuva, they'll come to someone else about him. That person who receives the dreams will transmit that message to him, and therefore he'll get the benefit of the bad dreams. His soul cannot tolerate, and he doesn't deserve to tolerate, a bad dream. On the other hand, we don't want him to have good dreams, because then he'll feel a sense of simcha and complacency. So what Hashem does is, since the soul needs a dream, he's going to have a dream. It'll be a good dream, but he'll forget that dream. So the purpose of the good dream is just to have an impact on his soul. He's never going to connect with that dream. He's not aware of that dream because he's long forgotten the dream. But the Gemara is not happy with that either, because it does seem a little differently. He said, "Omer Rav Huna bar Rav Ami, Omer Rav Pedas, Omer Rav Yochanan roach halom v'nafsho aguma." It does seem that a person could be in the state of nafsho aguma, and he's in a state of anguish. And Rav Huna now, in the name of Rav Yochanan, is going to give us an entire prescription about what to do with this state of being nafsho aguma. How do you get out of it? But it does seem that he has a nafsho aguma. But I think what's happening here is that even though there's nafsho aguma, but since, as we'll see in the unfolding sugya here, that there's a way of transforming that dream to make it into a good dream, therefore it's not going to bring the tzaddik into a state of behola. Now, it's very interesting here. The Mishneh Berurah actually, you know, Chaim Siman Reish Chaf addresses some of the issues about dreams. You wouldn't anticipate that this whole Agadah Tehillah would show up, but it does in Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishneh Berurah writes that even if the dream that he gets is not an evil dream, it doesn't sound evil, nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan is telling him what to do with the dream. So when it says nafsho aguma olav, I have a suspicion that the phrase nafsho aguma, this is my own take on it, according to Mishneh Berurah, doesn't mean what we think it means, that he'll be in a state of anguish. Because according to Mishneh Berurah, we're talking even about a chalom that has no mashma'ut ra'ah, so why is he going to be in a state of anguish? I think nafsho aguma olav means he's sort of like perplexed about the dream. He's not sure, and the dream is bothering him because he senses that there's something here, and it's an unknown to him, it's mysterious, and he's kind of a little bit worried about the dream. So what should he do? And the next Gemara is very, very complicated. It is step by step, it's very complicated. But let's go through it. Number one, Yelech V'yifterenu b'fnei shlosha. He's got to meet up with three of his buddies for what's called a pitaron chalom. Now, what exactly is this pitaron? you and I would have said that a pitaron means an interpretation of the dream. But I don't think that's exactly what we're talking about. What we're talking is that they could give their own spin on the dream. It's almost as if they are empowered to declare, and through their pronouncement, to change the dream and establish the dream. Yiftarena. And they will make that dream into a good dream. Now, what does that mean? The dream may have been a bad dream. Remember, we said it was a confusing type of dream. This is the secret, mysterious, let's call it metaphysical power, supernatural power of Pitaron Chalom. The Gemara says, "Vel Amar Rav Chizda, Chelma Delo Mefasher." If you have a dream that has no clear meaning to it, then it's Ki Garta Delo Mikari. It's like a letter that you receive and it's never been read. If it's never been read, it's not good, it's not evil. It remains sort of amorphous, undefined. Now, in that case, maybe we'd be better off not interpreting the dream, because that would make it into a letter that you never opened, and therefore the dream would remain, shall we say, neutral. It wouldn't be bad, it wouldn't be good, because if you don't read the letter, then nothing, you know, there's nothing there. So the Gemara says, well, why do we bother with this Pitaron Chalom if we could just leave it hanging as an uninterpreted dream, in which case the dream is meaningless. It's Eino Tov ve'Eino Ra. Ela Eima, but rather what Rabbi Yochanan means is Yativenu b'fnei Shlosha, that these beloved people will Yativenu, they will actually convert that dream, no matter what it was, whether it was good or bad, into a good dream. And as we said before, that's the amazing power of this process called Pitaron Chalom. So the Gemara says, now how are you supposed to do this? Leise Tlosa, he should get together three people, the Lemalu, and he should declare in front of them, Chaloma Tova Chazoy, I saw a good dream. Now that's not a fabrication of the truth, even though he doesn't know what the dream is all about, because he, together with these three friends, is going to establish, he's going to transform the dream and make the dream into a chalom tov. Vilemrule, and the three people will respond to him, hanach, these three, tovahu, the dream is a good dream. Vitovalehevi, it may be a good dream. And let's see its fulfillment. And then they're going to declare, Rachmana l'shavi l'tav, may God also declare that this dream is a good dream. So in the heavens, they'll imitate us down here. And sheva zimnin, ligzeru alach min ha-shamayim d'lehevi tova. Seven times they should decree on him, that in the shamayim, that this is a chalom tov. This is all part of their prayer to shamayim. V'yehevi tova, and let it be a good dream, may it be a good dream. And perhaps what they're asking is that he should always have good dreams, because when you repeat something seven times, it means it's li'olam v'ed. Satosus here, Dibri Amaschil Sheva, says that what the Gemara means by Sheva Zimnin is that they should repeat, the three fellows, over and over again, seven times, Chalma Tava, that this should be a good dream. And what's going to happen is that he, the one, the dreamer himself, he'll have to answer Amen seven times. And the Re was Noeg to say it three times and not seven times. But there were others who had the minhag apparently to say it seven times. V'lemru. And this is a statement, by the way. This is not a question. Sometimes you see V'lemru, you think it's a question. Here it's a statement. V'lemru, it's not enough after they finish this whole proclamation and they say Yehevi Tava, but they also have to add three psukim. This reminds me of like Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros. Each one is made up of three, right? Every one of the three is made up of three. So what are the three psukim? Sholosh Afuchos, Sholosh Pidyonos, and Sholosh Shlomos. Now there are three categories of psukim here. We're going to find three examples of each category. The first category is what's called Haficho, which means that God will convert evil into good. And the second category is Piduyos, which means that God will bring about a redemption. And the third is Shlomos, God will bring about peace. The Eluhe. Now we're going to learn the nine psukim. Shalosh Afuchos, number one. until him hafachta mispedila machali pitachta sakiva tazreni simcha. And the main point here is hafachta, that Hashem will change mispaid, which is of course evil, it's a hespaid, into machol, into a happy dance. And pitachta saki, usually what happens is the lashon of sak is the lashon of evel, you know, sackcloth, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And that should be converted to simcha. So that's the first pasuk. And then again, this a lot of this has to do with David's avelus when he got the word from Nosan Anovi that Hashem hevir chatasecha. Anyway, God changed evil to good. So that's one pasuk. Then the next pasuk is from Yirmiyah Novi. Oz tismach besula. So Yirmiyah is giving a foretelling the future, the osid lavo, and what's going to happen at the time of the ultimate redemption is that the besulos will go out, berikud shel simcha, l'rov simcha zkenim, the elders will follow the bachurim, and they'll all be in a state of simcha and machul. And any avelus that they had until that time of the loss of the churban, etc., the exile, will all be converted with sason, and there'll be a nechama on the avelus, and the simcha will be even greater than the avelus. Oz tismach besula b'machol u'bachurim v'zkenim yachtov v'hafachti evlam l'sason v'nichamtim v'simachtim ikonam. And then we get to the third pasuk, v'lo ova Hashem Elokecha, this is at the end of Dvarim, l'shmo el Bilam. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that Bilam had all sorts of klolos, and God, v'yafoch Hashem Elokecha l'chos haklo l'bracha, God transformed all of Bilam's klolos into brachos. So we have three psukim of haficha. Now we have shalosh p'duyos, three psukim of pidyon. Tichsiv v'poskin tilim padav shalom nafshi mikerav li mikrov li ki berabim hayu imadi. Second pasuk. Uptuya, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu Hanavi. Uptuya Hashem Yeshuvon uvot Zion berina v'simcha shalom al rosham sasom v'simcha yasigu v'nasu yagon v'anocha. And the third pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph. Vayomer ha'am el Shaul hayonas on yamus asher osa Yeshua hagdol azos b'shul chalila chay Hashem imipol misaras rosha arza ki im elokim asa yom hazeh vayiftu ha'am es Yonasan velomes. And there was a pidyon, and Yonasan was spared the ultimate, that terrible death. So this is after Yonasan violated the Shavua. Shaul, his father, had been Mashbiyah Meshavua and the entire nation that they shouldn't eat bread, lo yochlu lechem ad ha'erev. And then Yonasan ochal miyaros hadvash. So when this word got back to Shaul, what they said to Shaul was, v'chimen ha'ra'uy she'yomus Yonasan. Sheba al yodo atshua gdola zos b'Yisrael shenitzkuas haplishtim b'milchama. Yonasan was the one who brought about this great war, this great victory over the plishtim. And then the Am takes a shvur b'Hashem shelo ya'aral lo davar ra, that afilu achas misaros rosh lo tipol artsa ki b'yom hazeh osa Yonasan tova im elokim kasher sikein es nafsho voshias amo v'imkei b'vadai she Yonasan lo over al ha'shvua she'ishbi ha'shol es am b'shat nefesh el shogeg hoya v'lo yoda mi ha'shvua. And v'yiftu ha'am es Yonasan, they were able to be poed to him, and instead of dying he survived, and Baruch Hashem, that was the pidyon of Yonasan. Okay, then let's just see. Yeah, I think we're going to have to stop here.
We'll get to the Shmos tomorrow.
Right, it's... okay.